that we were supposed to get back on July the 18th. But we had to do a couple of shifts, and we're still not through. So let me cover everything that we've done up to this point. And I've let all of you snooze long enough why you're not getting it where it should be. The reason is, it is not the forces or energies that we're playing with that are failing. It is our personal ability to handle those things. Just like being a good musician or something, some people are going to be better than others. Well, welcome to the club. But nobody's going to be anything if they don't practice. And to do that, it just takes time. And there's a key that I deliberately left back to get some intensity out of your efforts, because when it doesn't work, I know how you charge the gates like a raging bull, and that's exactly what you need to do. But the forces we're dealing with and the centuries that we have to detect them and handle them are very, very subtle. This is not smash your hand with a sledgehammer type contact. Most of them are even more subtle and take a bit more concentration. Just like when we teach you initially to get close to a light bulb, put your hand up where you can feel the heat, and then start backing up and see how far away you can get and still feel the heat of the light bulb. It surprises people when they can feel it completely across the room once they know from being close to it what the hell it feels like. Now this is the same way with Akasha, air, fire, water, and earth. And the big secret to Akasha, and this one, God, it gets funny, and I don't know why we don't think of it, but we normally don't. When you pull up Akasha in between your hands, everyone is, there's nothing there. Absolutely right. It is nothing but room. That is a mind blower, sure was to me when it dawned on me. Was like, why the hell is there something there? The only thing that is there is room for something to be there. So needless to say, it wouldn't have a heavy sense like water or earth or whatever. So when you get to those things, you're not failing, you're seeing it right. And remember, every one of them, when you start to read them, are very, very subtle. Now the fact that once you can get a read on it, you can raise an earthquake as where the hell is beside the point. Because once you know what you're dealing with, you can really open up the floodgate point. So, that's the first thing. All of it. When you're reading a spirit, it is very, very subtle. You can feel the subtlety without any problem, but even that isn't a great wrestling match with an elephant. It's a very subtle thing, and you need that. Now, when we go through this study, I'm trying to put everybody on the same page with the same library. And this one is what we need to consider to get our heads together so that we can pull push out of Canaan. And that is not the easiest damn thing in the world to do. It is a friggin' nightmare. But as long as we're on the same page, we can do that. Now what we're going to do, so let me fill it up front. Our Black Aquarians have the personal experience, the library of living with this every day, so they can handle this thing and direct it far better than we can. Because they know what the targets are, they know what the whole damn thing by experience, because they live with it every friggin' day. So what we're going to do is let them do the targeting, and we're going to feed the energy to do it. And it's just as effective, or far more than we would get otherwise, because without that library of understanding, somebody is pushing and somebody else is pulling, because they just don't know what the hell the infinite details are. So, when we go through this thing, we're going to put everybody on the same page. And then, our Arcturians that are out of Kush are going to have a hell of a lot more firepower. And as an end result of the weapons, everybody's going to have a hell of a lot more firepower. This is coming out. And the big handprint was this fiasco where they fired that black woman over something that happened 25 years ago. Just jumped right in there like a wild herd of turtles, trying to impress somebody, I guess, and shit the bed. The AHGP shit the bed. You know, the Black Panthers shit the bed. The administration shit the bed for not prosecuting them, which left Holder out there with the bag right now. He's the one left holding the bag on that one. But this was all part of what we invoked to tear all this bullshit down. We got to tear down this perpetual structure that they have established, like with the Jesse Jacksons and all that. These people are the problem, not a solution. Government itself is the goddamn problem, not a solution. The cat Jew, in this case, is a problem and not a solution. But when we get through with this thing, we're going to have everybody on the same page, and we're going to be a problem to their ass and the solution. Okay, now, the black people and black races have been on the short end of everything from economics to justice for millennia on end. It's an absolute fact. It doesn't take a genius to see it. There can only be one real reason. Or spiritual. Now, take either one of those two choices. We're only permitted one as the real culprit. Either there is a genetic, generational degeneracy, making black people hated even among themselves, or there is a generational perpetuating curse from some supreme power that cannot be prayed into changing his mind. There's nothing else. Now, let's look at the facts a little bit. If there is a genetic, generational degeneracy making black people hated even of themselves, as we see perpetuated and do it every day, then we must conclude that all black people, without exception, are genetically degenerate, morally inferior, mentally substandard. Now, even a cursory look at such a conclusion proves out to be false right down to the infinite details, no exception. The premise is bogus and without merit from top to bottom. That one just does not hold water. But two, if there's a generational perpetuating curse from some supreme power that cannot be prayed into changing his mind, and the evidence of black people being on the short end of the stick from everything from economics to justice for millennia being absolutely irrefutable, then we have to conclude the presence and perpetuation of some great curse. There's no other common sense alternative. If it isn't genetic, it has to be spiritual. Now, that doesn't make it any easier. All socialist disputers of this irrevocable conclusion have the problem of delivery. The man's suffering. Eliminate the suffering of the black community with any of all your socialist solutions, and they can't do it. Equal education doesn't work. We've had desegregation since 1954, well over half a century. And we all have to show for it is about four or five dumbed down generations. Segregation has not been a problem in the British communities for no how goddamn long. They got rid of slavery before we did. But your black people are in ghettos and everything just like they are here. So what the hell is wrong with this picture? Forced integration, open housing, doesn't work, except to expand the ghetto war zones. Economic opportunity, doesn't work. Every attempt only brings a crime and a low production of the black community to the workplace to the detriment of the common. Race mixing, doesn't work. It's been practiced for thousands of years and resulted in nothing more than another layer of pollution. All these solutions, been tried, forced by law, all at the same time, and still the black community is plagued with rampant crime, violence, immorality, illegal narcotics, all of three, poverty and ignorance. All of their solutions sound good, but all of them are total failures that only serve to disguise and perpetuate the problem. But let's examine the second alternative. A curse from some supreme power. Now, curse, we already know upon whom. We're somewhat uncertain as to why and virtually oblivious as to the what and to what to do about it. So let's start our examination with proving there is some supreme power. How many years and generations must we endure the absolute and never-ending failures of the praise Jesus blasphemy before it dawns on us that it's pure poppycock? Hallelujah, half-wits from the Pope down spare neither effort nor breath to proclaim Jesus, Mary, and his saints, but can't deliver a damn thing of all the power, quote-unquote, these entities are supposed to possess and display on our behalf. When you try it, and it doesn't work, as it never does, these demonic bastards instantly declare you didn't believe enough. So let's examine that statement, too, while we're at it. We're expected to believe that for 2,000 years, 1,685 years for the Catholics and Christians, there hasn't been so much as one among all the priests, monsignors, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, popes, sisters, hallelujah, half-wits of the rank and file, who prayed in Jesus' name for world peace, and none of them believed enough to get it. Now, we're supposed to ignore the reputed statement of Emmanuel, of all these demons called Jesus, in John 14:13. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And continuing in verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. As a damned lie when the entire premise is built upon that solitary inclusion in the Bible. So that's what it is, a damned lie. Emmanuel never said any such thing. That's right. Nothing even similar appears anywhere else in any of the ancient or holy texts. And it never did work. Then doesn't work now because it's a goddamn lie. Virtually the entire book of John is a damn lie. It was all concocted and out of context. That's why it's a little shakier than the others, even though it's supposedly a gospel. It was written by the Roman government to be canonized when they became a church. Now note the absence of any belief or other conditions whatsoever. Look it up for yourself. Nothing is taken out of context. It's just as big a lie as creation is able to contain. Fine. Ask anything you want in the literary mind, and it amounts to a pound of shit. A lot of us have been there. It doesn't work, and it never did work. And here we encounter the belief poppycock. Outright forgery concoction by the Roman Empire in the process of becoming a religion, as evidenced by the fact it doesn't work either. Matthew 21:22. And all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Now most of us have tested this one without one whit of delivery. Next. And it damn sure wasn't because we didn't believe enough. Or anything even close to that requirement. Now all PKs can test this one for what it actually is. A Roman Catholic forgery. Since we're all aware it's both from start to finish, we need only verify the source. And any PK can do that. It takes them about 1 minute. Now I challenge each and every hallelujah half-wit, priest, preacher, and all other such liars to prove different and put your best praise of Jesus suit, go to the nearest hospital, and clean it out by healing every patient and raising every corpse in the morgue. In Jesus' name.
Just do one, I'll be satisfied.
Right. Anyway, they want to start out. And on the way back, detoured every funeral home in the municipal morgue and raised every proven dead there, too. What? Let's take the thousands of years of Greek curses, and there too, as we know, in question, we've got two of them, the curse on Canaan, then the curse on Cush. We've already disproven genetics as a fault, but something or someone has kept those Greek curses intact. Something or someone has kept them unchanged and unmollified. And that something or someone cannot be freed into permitting anything less or to remove one jot or tittle from the terms and conditions. Now, we'll get to those terms and conditions a bit later. But the fact of an absolute, ages-long, unchanged continuance certainly is prima facie evidence that something or someone of a supreme power of some kind has control over these great curses. They cannot continue to exist in such manner otherwise. Now, Acurians have an additional and truly unquestionable proof of said supreme being, of supreme power, in the Great Testimony, also known as the proof of the anointing. It happens within every mind, spirit, soul, and body of the individual, and cannot be faked, even by Lucifer himself. It's like a broken leg. You knew it's real when it's your broken leg, no belief required. Position yes, belief no. And there isn't any spirit other than your own inside you once through the process. No Jesus within or other damnations whatsoever. The only thing that changes within you is a degree of knowledge for those with a soul and a soul for those previously without one. In addition to the knowledge, the Great Testimony does not endow anybody to blast off on their own agenda, especially with respect to the Most High, who has just proven himself beyond any and all question and doubt. Now that we have proof of both the Great Curses and the Supreme Being, it is suddenly in our responsibility and liability, one, or what the Most High requires of us, and two, what, if anything, can be done with or about the great curses. Verse rather easy, given from ages ago in the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah. It's called Holy Law. About a third of Holy Law applies only to the priesthood of the tribe of Levi. Another third applies only to farmers, and the rest applies to all Israel. And that effectively rids all the pretenders from the Pope down, including all Hallelujah half-wit preachers and their followers, and all the imams of Islam, of any and all authority whatsoever. And for the record, there are no other priests than Levites, born as Levites, allowed. Anyone that enters the temple as a priest other than that is going to get nailed. Only the Levites are authorized to wear the priestly mantle, and anyone else who does so is then and there a blasphemer. There is a mantle for the anointed that says we outrank priests. We have all the authorities of the priest, but that does not justify us walking in, say, to the Ark of the Covenant. That takes the son of Aaron, duly sanctified, and everything else. Nobody else gets near that ark and survives. They try to touch it or move it, the fun begins. Because Levi abandoned the righteousness of the priesthood, as the Most High knew they would, the Most High directly appointed holy men, anointed Messiahs, all of whom have a separate and infallible testimony of the Most High as to their commission, righteous power, holy authority to call the priests, kings, queens, and everybody else into account. The anointed. True and righteous, proven knowers are endowed by the Most High with the righteous power and holy authority as disciples of the anointed in direct proportion to their obedience to holy law, and under holy law as it applies to the anointed are considered as priests, including all immunities provided to the Levites. We we do not wear the Levite mantle unless we happen to be a Levite. A Korean woman keeps silent in the synagogues, etc. And there are no Christians accounted in that number of 175 promised anointments for the generations of Israel. None. Now, mankind is given the choice of holy law or ultimate destruction, and Canaan qualifies for the latter without appeal. Now, we know that. The Most High will only testify of the validity of those first five books of the Old Testament, three of the books of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and the book of Revelation in the New Testament for a total of nine. All the rest have either been edited or altered to the point the original scripts are no longer truthful in their current context or are outright forgeries. Reverence among the 900 scripts found at Wadi Qumran, every book of the Old Testament has been found, except for the book of Esther, though not translated and republished in Togo. Since the Most High does testify of the first five books of the Old Testament, among which is Genesis, where the three-sentence account of the curse on Canaan is found, Genesis 9:25, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Verse 26, and he said, "Blessed be the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." 27, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Spoken by Noah, who had been defamed, and the honor of his appointment as anointed of that generation desecrated by Ham, one of his sons, the father of Canaan. Noah's own son did that, so he put on his grandson, the firstborn of Ham. Now the problem is the full account of the history would fill many volumes, far too much for the practice of verbal tradition, and that's how they kept these things alive, the verbal tradition. We sit around the dinner pot, the campfires, and the process of keeping the information and the history intact among people prior to a horrible printing. That most of the great curses are lost and missing is not the fault of the children of Shem or Japheth. That vocal tradition should have been kept by the children of Canaan and Cush. That it wasn't is attributable to the same mindset most black people have yet today. Denial in the face of hard evidence to the contrary, to the point of perpetuated ignorance. It's a good thing the cosmic records exist and everything in the past can't be changed, though the full history and text of both great curses are still there, unchanged, for all to see, and that is where we got the scripts and translated them from Angelus as contained in the AED. Now, the occurrence of tolerated my personal vendetta for attempting to put both the great curse of Noah on Canaan and its follow-up, the great curse of the Most High on Cush, into the public arena where everybody can know all the rules and the limitations. Before anybody can do anything properly, they first must know the rules. This is a horror lasting thousands of years, and the same scenario applies. For the black races or a black individual can do anything about either of the great curses, they must know the terms and conditions. And that is why the full text of both the great curses are contained in the AED. A far more complete account of the incident between Noah, but New Kishtim is called in Nepalese, including the full transcript of both curses translated out of Angelic, language of the heavens, is contained in the AED, and suffice it to say here that among Noah's grandchildren, a favorite granddaughter, Vera Angeline, daughter of Cush, asked for and received a thin thread of an escape from the great curses for her tribe of Cush. There is no escape for Canaan. Zechariah 14:21. Yea, every font in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seat therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. That's about as final as it gets. It was by the holy authority vested in Noah as the anointed of his generation by the Most High that his great curse on Canaan was pronounced and is enforced by the Most High to this day and will be enforced by the Most High until the extermination. It was by the same holy authority that Noah gave Ambera and Jalina the hope for Cush. Otherwise, neither Canaan nor Cush would be able to escape the fate extended upon Canaan. Canaan could have disposed of this curse in no more than four generations from himself, but he chose to outsmart the Most High, and like most race mixers do today, thinking the curse will go away if whiter blood is injected, and brought the great curse of his brother Cush as well. Got both of them. The old man wasn't confused. He said, "Oh, you want a curse? Here's a good one." Wham! And if you want to curse, you get cursed. But you don't fool the Most High or escape his judgments. Cush has a way out from under the curse. Canaan does not. The great curses are not going away. It takes Cush to come out of Canaan by a very thin thread. But we can do it. And by God, we're going to do it. The choice, then, is as difficult to accomplish as it is simple to state. Get Cush out of Canaan. A complete turnaround of ghetto culture, as opposed to the continuance and endorsement of what never did work. And it can be done. The occurrence are blessed with Cushites who are proven owners of the great testimony, some having been through the hallelujah half-wit never did work stupidities. Others just doing due diligence to find whatever truth they actually could, and all willing to accept that truth regardless of how far afield from Christianity and how brutal. Nothing is accepted blindly. There are no gurus or phony guiding spirits in a period. Just the Most High of all things, holy all. Everything, including my own appointment, is tested and documented within each and every proven knower, a process that permits continuous, personal, and individual access to the Most High for any and all righteous endeavors. There is no required chain of command to preachers in Jesus, Mary, and up to God among the occurrence. We have an organizational command structure, and nobody can deliver or deny anyone else direct access to the Most High. Either you can do it of yourself, or you can't, because no one is saying you can't do it, and no one can stand in your way as an occurring. And no occurring will help you get there. That Cushites can and do have direct personal access to the Most High, because they are first true and righteous occurrence, is actually an upsetting shock to many fellow white people. And it offends all the self-righteous, supremacist white Arabs, and especially Levites and Jews. So be it. Canaan is doomed, and only the Cushites will stand in the company of the righteous in that day among them. The choice is for Cush to come out of Canaan. The only alternative is for Cush to come out of Canaan, totally and across the board. Those who decide to become Cushites need to repent, turn away from all the accepted black community's abominations. Learn and live by holy law insofar as is possible, since Levi sold the righteousness for a farthing in the streets as it were an ancient whore for worth and value. But one example is to listen to the occurrence of Cush speak English, street gibberish, and field hand, are both conspicuous by their absence. Did you notice that? Every one of our occurrence doesn't sound like the street jerk that you hear out among the cool and the dope community and all language of the land is only one element among the list to run away from. All the street talk, the jive talk, great. Most of them couldn't say shit with a mouthful. The Hispanic community, you could hardly tell the difference. Try to communicate with one. Try to carry on a conversation. And take your patience pills before you do. Any conduct or commerce that perpetuates the black ghetto norm also perpetuates the great curses, as it has done for thousands of years. Think about that. Harlotry alone has turned the intended helping hand of welfare into an entitlement lifestyle of irresponsibility, some extend into the seventh and eighth generation with no end in sight. While there's no excuse for hunger anywhere in the United States, there's also no excuse for more than one generation of welfare. To permit more is to perpetuate the curse upon Canaan and all the hardships that come with such a damn nation. The hand of the Most High is still extended to good. But the Canaan presents a close fist. Word of caution. Even though there are few great curses to contend with, the Most High will not tolerate abuses beyond His established statutes. Even if those abuses are committed by the descendants of Shem and Japheth, which include the children of Abraham, Ishmael, Arabia, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. When the tribes themselves were in distress from being under domination, the Most High took the houses around the tribes and knocked the piss out of them because they exceeded what the Most High had said to have done. There is no such thing as an inferior or an superior or inferior race. They do not exist. There are races. None are inferior or superior to the other one. None. Zero. And people that try to make black people lesser than they are because they're white or something are as goddamn wrong as they can get. This Black Panther the other day that wanted to kill white babies. I wonder what he would have thought if somebody said, no, every time you kill a white baby, we're going to kill a black one. Those are abominations in either instance. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the murder of innocent children, and race has nothing to do with it. And it cannot be justified on the basis of race. I don't give a goddamn who says so. Now, there have been uncounted curses, all fully justified, and invoked by the innocent, who have been abused, punished, robbed, incarcerated, tortured, murdered, made victims of atrocities and abominations at the hands of the high and mighty over the millennia. You have to sing a thing in England, you know, God bless the Queen. Well, privately, I've heard as many people damn the Queen as a Western, I assure you. When you see or witness a disaster upon whole families, such as the Carters and the Kennedys of United States political fame, you should know for a fact that those disasters are the end result of somebody's fully justified curse in retaliation and vengeance from some equally horrendous crime against the deliverer by the high and mighty. And by the righteous power and holy authority invested in me as the anointed witness of this generation of fire for the Most High. In fact, he himself will testify to any and all sincere speakers. I word and invoke the righteous decree upon the whole of the house of Levi and the whole of the house of Judah, which still stands to this day. Then on the 45th, not to be celebrated anniversary of the Holy Anointing, June 27, 2007, 11 57-67, I read the invocation of the irreversible curse and curses upon the whole of the house of Levi, and the irreversible curse and curses upon the whole of the house of Judah, in the company and concert of the Grand Council of the Gnostics, 2005-2010 at Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now that brings the number of breakers to four. The full text of the both righteous decree and the four great curses are available online and free to read. I want everybody listening to go read them again. Just go to theoccurrence.com and follow the links. You will need the Library of Congress decree of the righteous decree and those great curses in order to even assist in bringing Cush out of Canaan. If you don't understand those curses and what they say, you're just literally pissing into the wind again. Some of the people that's on this phone right now in this conference were sitting at the table when we did the great curses. McCreek was there. Roslyn was there. Kitty was there. Chandler and Diane were there. And of course I was there. I don't know whether Pete, I don't remember whether Pete was there or not. But I know that we had the better part of the Grand Council sitting there at the time. And that was a hell of a session. Just ask any of them that were there. And the Jews have been in a whirl a couple ever since. Now, let me make this point clear if I can. Once these curses are put in operation, it is upon the people that is cursed to come out of the thing. They're the ones that's got to live it down. From our authority, when we put that curse in Levi and Judah's hands, it's Levi and Judah that's got to come up to the snuff to get rid of it. We're not going to. And the Most High, the old man, is not going to lift it. They're going to comply with those curses, hell and high water. And that's the problem that we're running into next. The only relief for the black population is for Cush to remove themselves from Canaan and all the Canaanite antics to become pure in their generations and righteous in all their deeds. Now it sounds simple, but it's a mental, emotional, spiritual nightmare. Logistics is off the scale, and the cultural series of nightmares of the first magnitude. But that does not permit any excuse for remaining under the great curses or attempting to do away with them, which is impossible. The curses are going to remain. So if you don't have any authority to remove the curse, what do? You take the thin thread and start living in such manner that the Most High would have to make himself a wire to continue the curse upon you, so he starts treating you different because you earn different treatment, and the curse is still over there for all but one. It didn't go anywhere. Just you didn't go anywhere. It's a little bit like coming in out of a damn rain. And that's not easy. We understand the economics of a lot of things that's going on in the black community, and a hell of a lot of it. Most of it, in fact, perpetuated by the goddamn cut Jews and their socialist bullshit. But that doesn't change the rules of the curse, nor does it change the rules of how to get the hell out of it. Now, the occurrence have, and we will continuously refine invocations of Cush to enhance Cush to come out of Canaan on their own energies and at their own volition. We can't just go take them to the throat and say, you're a Cushite now. That isn't going to work. Those true and righteous occurrence who are Cushites must be permitted to compose and lead the invocations of testimony to bring Cush out of Canaan, because they and they alone have the experience library to do it properly. All other true and righteous occurrence must send energies and full support of and to our fellow occurrence to accomplish that goal, regardless of the years or generations it may take to do it. And we can't put our terms on that energy. It's got to be free and clear energy that the Cushites can use themselves. Can't be something that we want our terms and there's other bullshit on. That's a problem, not a solution. Now, the depriving the socialist of one world government, the manipulators of any and all support in and out of the black community is something all true and righteous experience can involve ourselves in. And is one of the best weapons to use against that global enslavement agenda. The battle lines are clear and they are unmistakable. The socialist and one world government manipulators can only operate with Canaan and the likes of Canaan. And the righteous children of Abraham can only operate with the Assyrians and the true and righteous that have their demons, and we have holy law. And we must do this till the day of the great extermination. And only the Most High knows when that will be. We cannot forcibly take anyone in the black community and convert them at the business end of a 357 Magnum or a broadsword. Catholicism did that to the Roman Empire. The Muslims did that to their own detriment. They've been in a civil war among themselves for 1,000 years. Those are the kind of processes that will not work. But now that all of us have some understanding of what the hell we're up against, we have a very real curse put in somebody's ass by a very real God, and it's being perpetuated by a very real level of ignorance. We have got to get the rules of the game so that every person that wants to be a Cushite rather than a Canaanite can do it because they know the rules. Without the rules of the game, they're flying by. It's as screwed up as a football bat. It isn't going to work. That's a problem, not a solution. And we're seeing more of it every day. I have said for years that whatever atrocities, disasters, what have you, is going to happen to the United States, it is going to happen to the black community first. And it is. When the economic crunch came down, who were the first people fired? Where did that economic thing hit first? The black community, right across the mouth. Now that they're getting around and under the table, cutting out a bunch of stuff that used to be welfare support, where you can get this, you can get that, you can get the other, those things are gone under Obama. So that economic crunch is not going to get better in the black community, it's going to get progressively worse. And we've got to do something about it. We cannot permit that to happen in all conscious reality. We just cannot. And by God, we're not going to. Now, are there any specific questions that I can answer so you get a better understanding of what the hell we're doing here? We, the Assyrians, are going to get together and put the energies towards taking Kush out of Canaan. Those energies are going to be directed by our own people of Kush. And I don't like that because it begins to sound like African-American. What the hell wrong with America? We're not going to have that in Korea. We're not going to judge anything in a Korea by racial terms. You're a Korean first. Everything else follows in whatever puss-willy order you want to put it. But the rest of us have to supply the energy, the firepower, for those Kushites that want to do this thing to bring Kush out of Canaan, as many as we can get. And we're not going to get many. But if we get one, it was worth the entire effort. I will have been exonerated. As a matter of fact, I have a few listening in that is my exoneration. So, are there any questions? Boy, everybody has a handle on that one, don't they? If it's something privately you want to ask me, do that. We will talk to you about them and answer that privately if it's a private question about it. Everybody got a better handle on what we're up against now. This thing has got untold thousands of years of accumulated energy behind it. And we're not going to turn that water off with a throw of a switch. That bitch is going to be a real bull to twist in the gates, I guarantee you. But we're going to do it. Okay. Ross Madonna, your singer of all of our beloved Cushites. And you are beloved, believe me. Anything you want to add to it, honey? Question or anything?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Not at this time.
Patrick?
No, not at this time.
Okay, darling. Coco, how about you, honey?
Nothing I can think of as right away.
Okay.
Well, the problem is, okay, all that sounds good, but how do you do it? I mean, where do you start?
That's the question. The invocations you have are getting a result. I don't know that they're the best, but they damn sure aren't the worst. They're getting results. And I don't care how empathetic those of us who are not Cushites or not black, I don't care how empathetic we are, it's going to take the wisdom and the experience of our black members to even approach the damn on-off switch to start the engine. The rest of us really do not know. We have an empathy. I never liked the fact that we could go someplace, Red Belly would be allowed to play on the stage, but couldn't stay in the hotel overnight, and couldn't eat in the dining room. When we found that was the case, we unbooked. We threw in trouble. That was something I called in, and it's something I call now. It's bullshit. And I'm not going to put up with it. The invocations that you have are working, and they are working very, very well. Are we going to upgrade them as we go? Yes, I hope so.
Yes, we do need to do that. However, I'm still in a query as to what else or what new invocations we can put in there and what we need to subtract.
Well, I feel, but I know it's not going to be popular, but I think we have to go back to the original. The only way, to me, is the way they did it to begin with, was separate. You know, we need to regroup and separate, but the world has gotten to be too big to separate. But for the black community, it was better, I think, for us with segregation.
You know what, Rosie? What? It just dawned on me what invocations we can create off on some of Malcolm's speeches.
I thought that would be a good source to look anyhow.
Yeah, because the less you get your own, you know, I think the two biggest problems in the black community, the two biggest things people are getting dinged on is the church and race mixing.
Yeah, I don't know which is the worst, but...
Well, they both get you in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but all that race mixing is being perpetuated by the black Jews. If you notice, there was an advertisement about eHarmony. And here's this very black woman kissing this very white man, and he's saying this is eHarmony. Now you know that is race mixing.
Well, it is, but the only way, it didn't happen as much when we had our own communities.
That's true.
For the poverty where a lot of black women had to prostitute themselves, which that poverty was manipulated.
But then you got to get rid of all the self-hatred stuff, because the last thing black people want to do is be around black people.
Yeah. As crazy as that sounds, I know that to be a fact. And
they pride themselves on what color you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one that I never did get a handle on. I still don't have a handle on that one.
That's the part of the curse that says the ugly, you know, you'll be ugly, and that's not true. You know, that's the truest part of the curse, because most black people see themselves and black features as ugly. And the whole measurement of beauty in the black community is how white you are. Or whether you got white features, your nose, your lips, your hair, your skin.
Yeah, 3 B's, tell me about Rosie.
Yeah, the 3 B's. Yeah, that's also been put together by the white plantation owners.
I don't think so, because most white people don't know nothing about it.
No, but you remember that how
that went so far back. I mean, today the ones that perpetuate it is black people.
Yes, but the white people, most of the white people I thought, they had no idea that there's something wrong with our lips. As a matter of fact, they're putting in to make theirs bigger. You know, they have no idea that there's anything wrong with our hair, the way we feel about our hair.
But what I'm saying is that when they took all those high yellow and light skinned niggas from the fields and put them in the kitchen, this is when the black folks in the fields are saying, wait a minute.
Well, maybe they, what's that problem in Africa?
That problem was here in the United States.
Well, but what's the African problem? They got it worse than we did.
The African problem has to do with money.
They like light skin better than we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they weren't in the fields, and you can't blame that on them. What about in Jamaica? Everybody they say, I want a brown baby. Please don't let me have a black baby.
Oh, yeah. See, Jamaica's the same way. The island.
But it's everywhere, but it's black people that's perpetuating it, Patrick.
Yeah,
not white people.
No, I know it's the white people. What white people do is shun black people, no matter what they look like.
Well, I don't see that. I have not experienced that. I've been shunned and put down more by black people than I have by white people. I'm not trying to be a part of the white community. You know, I'm not trying to be a part of the white community, but I have not experienced that blatant in-your-face hatred of everything that I have black. I get that more from black people, especially black men, than I do from white people.
See, I got that in California. I would send my resumes to these companies. My resumes would match the job. They called me for an interview. When I walked through the door, it was like, let's change the conversation.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
And that happened so often.
Well, you have to realize, too, a lot of times people, they didn't like black people because of the performance, the problems that they had on the job. And unfortunately, when another black person comes in there, they remember that one that cut up that looked like you.
No, this was pure outright racism. And I felt it on all the interviews that I went on.
And well, then that's even more for me saying that we need to segregate. And then you have your own jobs, your own companies. And then what can you say that, what's the discrimination? Then they're going to be discriminating you even more because you're not light-skinned. If you don't look like Beyonce, and if you don't look like Mariah Carey, you're going to have to really take a back seat.
Oh, yeah.
You know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Black people are more guilty of that than white people.
Yes, they are.
Well, that's the kind of mentality we've got to get changed. That's one of the perpetuated teachers of bullshit that we've got to target, and I haven't a clue how to go about that. There's got to be an answer to it. I just don't know what the hell it is.
Yes, I, us. It's not, it ain't, you know, it's the self-hatred is us. Well, I've been discriminated more by black people than I have by white people.
Well, we're going to fix that too. The discrimination.
You don't look like Beyonce. You don't look like, you know, they really, and even when I was, and when we were separated in the black community, the only queens could be, you remember, the only queens could be the little light skin girls with long straight hair.
Oh yes, I remember.
The only body that could get any promotion, have anybody that married a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, still is the lightest thing going.
Oh yes, yes, so,
yes.
Yes,
you know, it's been more perpetuated in the black community.
Yes, and I do remember that good hair syndrome, too.
Well, those are the things that kind of take a hit on. Go ahead, honey. I'm sorry, I stepped on your...
She's into it because of the economic conditions. Probably when I'm always white. So the black people have to try to be white in order to get all of those advantages. I know that was in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of the overall curse to make life miserable. It damn sure does that, you know. But that is what we're about. And I will be the first to admit I haven't a clue of what to do about any one of these specific things that you, darlings, absolutely understand infinitely because you've lived with it all your life. I haven't a clue. But one thing I do have, I got firepower and I've got authority to use it. So, whatever you decide, however you decide to invoke, and I would like to see the whole organization in our black sessions doing that again. And those of us who are white, we are going to get energy for you and just seek it so that you can target it with your understanding, because your library of understanding is off the scale compared to any of ours. But we can do that, and I think everybody's got pretty much the same page of what we're up against. It's not a big joke, believe me. This is an atrocity that has been going on and being perpetuated within itself for thousands of years. And by God, we're going to put a stop to it. It's got to start somewhere. With us is as good a place as any. But I do want everyone to know, this is not something the Most High told me to do. This is something I took on myself. And no one is obligated to help us a damn bit. There is no requirement anywhere on any of us to do this. The only requirement is the limitations. When the Most High shocked it to, I think, the Moab, who were the descendants of Lot's children by one of his daughters, Moab and Ammon, because they did not come out and greet the returning Jews and Levites with food and drink and whatever, did not go out and greet them and bring them this when they were coming back from exile. So if they didn't do that, Johann found cause to exterminate them. And he did that. He got rid of them. There are no Moabites and no Ammonites left. You're going to wall them. You're going to be Esau, too. For these kind of over pushings. So, as a Kurian, we can do this thing. And by God, we're going to do it. If it starts here, so be it. But we're going to do it. This abomination is going on long enough. And the socialists are as much of a goddamn problem as anybody else. As long as the socialists can keep the black community on some goddamn starve through today so they can be alive to starve through tomorrow, they're going to do it. And then once they get in power completely, going to exterminate the whole black community. If the Nephilim don't kill it and do it first. And it's only going to be those with a seal that are going to survive. It's very clear. And talking about the Most High was telling those to do the killing to start at the temple and go out through the city and kill everybody without a seal. But whoever has a seal, they weren't even allowed to go near, don't even approach those. And exterminate everybody, young, small, old, rich, poor, didn't matter. You were blind, there was no mercy. They killed everyone, from one end to the other, starting at the temple and outward. Well, that was a symbolic of what's going to happen next. And the great racial plans and what have you. But if we can strip the communists of the dependency of the black community, we've got half of the fight done in bringing Kush out of Canaan. Now, I have no idea how
I would say that. I was going to say that. That would be the job.
Oh, that is a bitch.
Yeah.
I do believe that the job to stop the stop all these bloods going on the tits is to stop the birth rate. No more births in the black community. Now I know that seems extreme, but you know we all know that when blacks get 14, 15, even younger, they either rape or they get sexually active. And then the babies come, what's the first thing the mothers do? Go on WIC. Well, that's not...
We've got, what, 6, 7, 8 generations of that now?
Exactly. And when I worked at Walmart...
Well, then why don't we say this? Instead of stop the birth rate, just stop the illegitimate and push for marriage and fathers taking care of their kids.
Well, that's right. They've got to have... a man in the house. It's got to be a patriarchal culture rather than a matriarchal culture, which has been under now.
All the men are in jail and the women are by themselves.
Right.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is we stop the birth, get all these people sterilized one way or another, then we can actually start begin a transition.
Where's the next generation going to come from? You won't have to worry about it if everybody's
still. Very interesting place I came in at.
Well, the thing is, I'm tired of seeing all these stupid niggas run around here. I'm tired of
seeing what they need to do is to get married and have responsible men with jobs. They're not just saying you can't reproduce. That you don't need somebody to come and kill the next generation. That's genocide right there.
Well, it is.
Okay, so what?
We have to put a stop to the perpetuation. But how do you? How we go about that? Just sterilizing them, I think, is an abomination.
Exactly.
The curse at the moment, but if Jane. So that these people that these people are now multi-generational welfare to stop and say no.
Exactly.
We're not doing this.
No.
Thing when you've got 14, 15 year old kids that are becoming mothers.
Well, how old were
most of the time.
Well, that's the problem. How old were your grandmother when she had a baby? Everybody's grandmother was 14 or 15.
Yeah,
okay,
I was 19 and I've been married for over a year.
But that's the problem. If you're going to have a baby, you're going to have to take care of them. I mean, my grandmother was 14 when she started. I mean, back in the day, that's when the body starts making it so you can't get pregnant. But what you got to do is tell them and go back to the, you can't have a baby unless somebody is already committed to you to help you take care of it and raise it.
That's another thing. See, these stupid men out here, these stupid black men out here, every woman they're with, they say the same thing. I want you to have my baby. So the woman
I don't think that men are saying that. And men run as far from having a baby as they can get.
Oh, yeah, but
that's the women. That's the women. Maybe if I have a baby, he'll stay.
Yes, I hear that on the female side. I hear it on the male side, too.
Well, then we need to put the energy back for legitimate children, for people to get married and be committed to raising the children.
Yeah.
I mean, they may get divorced, they may not run, but the commitment has to be there.
Right.
The men have to understand and be allowed to take care of their children.
Yes.
Let me run son for a second here, because it isn't kind of one of those things I've been kind of reading about lately, and they call it post-traumatic brain disorder. Has anyone ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to go there. I wasn't enslaving, but I'm just going to play this card since we're having this conversation. Back in slave days, the black man was used to basically steal it, I would guess. You call it?
His job was to make
more slaves. So, you know, that was basically what he was to do, go to this one or whatever, he was told whatever, more babies, whatever. The women, they took care of the kids, but they knew that their kids were basically property. They weren't gonna maybe have them forever. They don't know how long they were going to have them. I think a lot of that issue that we had back then when slavery was abolished was never dealt with. So if we're going back, neither patterns that have been repeated because they don't, you know.
Exactly. So that's what I think we should put the energy back in for legitimate, put it back into people's mind that children should have a father. Legitimate relationships.
Right.
You know,
one of the things we've got to do, and this one is really going to raise some goddamn eyebrows among the socials, is stop putting men in jail for child support. When they're in jail, now you've created a bigger goddamn problem.
Yeah,
and you've alienated. You've alienated the father from that child. The child's no more than the love. It's a person. The child is basically a person who could put them in jail, who could take away their freedom. And they're not saying it's making
any of that. Stop these women from getting pregnant, thinking that that's going to hold a man. It never has, and it never will.
Yes, I'm going to go farther than all of that. Because if we go to the real deep, I know we take a lot, but we need to bring some love here. I mean, there needs to be some real, true love, because that's what I'm searching for.
Well, I think another thing we need, these young ladies need to go to fucking common school. They have no, I mean, I can understand why most of the men find them disgusting.
Yeah.
If you ever look at the way they dress, the way they talk, and the way they act, it's not something that's going to make a man love them.
Well, that's how the industry as far as the media wants them to be
we need to put that energy back, that they need to go to charm school. They need to open up some charm school and teach young ladies how to be young ladies again.
In other words,
I think women carry culture. Women carry the culture. And it's not as low as you allow them to go.
Oh, yeah, but that's why we have... That we need to put back the pride, the dignity, in the woman.
They need to act like women and act like ladies again.
They need to
walk like and dress like ladies.
Yes, there are examples of that, though. The only one example we have right now would be, what, Michelle Obama?
Well, that's why, do you remember Medea's family reunion?
You agree, Ernie, right?
Yes,
I do. Remember Medea's family reunion when Cicely Tyson is giving that speech? That speech is the most incredible speech from a black person I have heard. She said, "Stand, where is your dignity? Where is your pride? Where is your integrity?" And she walked all the way through that. And she mentioned all these women standing around half-naked, gyrating. And that was not good.
So then what we can do is put the energy, if we're going to put energy out there, I would like to see the young ladies, you know, become ladies.
Yes, I don't have to go back to this because the reason, first of all, if a man was in the home, I'm just going to say in the man, woman, child, if a man was in the home, that child, if it was a daughter, would know how to be a lady. If things are right because there's a mother, there's a father, and then there's a child. But a lot of this stuff, the woman has to play the man's role. The man ain't in the home, in the house. The little girl looking for a daddy because the daddy ain't home, so she's falling out of
since the women are there, we need to start with, that's the most, the one thing that you can change, because the men will follow. If you put the energy out there for the women to act like ladies, the men will come.
But then who wants the men? I have to think this. Who wants the men if the men ain't ready? Because
the woman is the one that makes the man get ready. Because if he don't put it out there right, he don't just lay down and have a baby with him.
So this is true, but however, even if the man aren't right, if they don't want to listen to this woman who's acting like a lady, they're going to go out there. They're going to go out there. Because half of these men are not really men. These black men are not real men.
Because the men, you know, they're
going to
go as low as you allow them. But if you step up your game, and they don't have to come up and meet you, and they will.
And, you know, I spoke there. I was at a thing, and a Mexican man came up to me, and he was talking, and I had to say, at least in their ethnicity, they haven't lost that culture. At least a man is a man. He said a man, he basically said, I don't think I'm crazy, I'm whatever. My wife is that part of me, because I'm just a man, you know.
Have to stop these women having seven kids with seven different fathers. I mean,
I think the easiest one to start with is the woman. You bring her up, and the men will follow. But if she gonna lay in the gutter, then he'll lay down there with her.
Oh, that's for sure. However, I think we need to start in both places, though. Bring up that men. Give the men pride and dignity. Give the woman pride and dignity.
I like that.
Unfortunately, I think men get their pride and dignity from taking care of women. taking care of women and being and having and dominating or some kind of way being the man for a woman. Because if he ain't got that, then he'll be as sorry as you allow him to be.
And that's why they saw it, because they can't do what they need to do, which is support their family, so that's an issue.
That's right. They can.
You know what they can?
When they get with women who allow them to do that, they find a way.
If they put pride and dignity and integrity in the men to go out there, get the job, and then get their women so they can support their family and their children.
Well, we can talk about this forever. We're talking about it for an hour and a half now, so.
Malcolm X's speeches, we can pull some indications out of that, because his speeches riled a lot of the black race, and they were starting to think.
He pushed
a lot of
that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess I'm not willing to go where he went with as a Muslim for women. I'm not ready to relinquish back into the kitchen and wrap my
hair. No, I'm not saying that. He had a lot of, in his speeches, he talked about pride, dignity, integrity. He talked about education. He talked about taking care of the family. That's
well,
what I'm talking about.
He was, they used to call him the manhood of blackness. So he talked mostly to the men.
That's why.
So because from that Muslim culture, that black Muslim,
He was a black Muslim. He taught black Muslims. However, we don't have to look at it that way. We can rewrite those indications so that we're looking at the black men to pull them out of Canaan. And
okay.
The only way to pull them out of Canaan is to relate what they knew. Because if you go into the black race, all those black men talk about Malcolm X.
Yeah, well.
Oh, that's a good idea. Start from there.
I hope that this
part has been going on. It's honorates my opinion, but what the rest of us need to do is to put up the energy and support your direction, because you're the ones that have the library of understanding to know what to target, and once you've decided on a target, how. You're going to have to get together and set your priorities for what you're going to target, because there are so damn many places you can start. But which one is going to work the best? And a lot of it's going to be trial and error. You're not going to bat 1,000. Okay, welcome to creation. Not a problem. But this is where we start. This is how we start.
Yeah,
this is what we've got to do. And damn it, the only way we can make this thing work is for those in the black community among the Akurians, target the problems in the black community, and the rest of us Akurians pour hell itself through the main gates, if that's what it takes.
Actually, I really think that the first place to start is the church and the race mixer.
Reading the energy on it.
And a whole lot of this stuff will fall into place because the church perpetuates a whole lot of bullshit.
Yes,
that's true too, and we have to also remember, Langston Hughes had some beautiful poetry about black people. Now, we look through his poetry, he talks about the different colors, mahogany, redwood, you know, all that good stuff. In his poetry, I know we can pull something out of there to give more dignity to the black women because that was his focus, black women. So we pull them in. Using some of Malcolm X's statements, not all of them, we can rewrite them so they're not pro-Islam. We can pull them out so that they're pro-black. Look at their rights and use. I know we all have rights and use books in our libraries, as I do.
Very valuable now. You can sell them for a lot of money.
Yep.
Look through rights and use poetry. If you saw Beauty Shop with Queen Latifah, one woman is there, does nothing but speak Langston Hughes and Giovanni and Sonia and all those poets. And they're talking about the black women. That's where we can get some of our power because that is some of the books that are being read and spoke in some of these new black movies.
Okay.
Well,
it's 11:30. It's 11:30 here, and I'm fading out. So.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get this thing down to the cases. Ron's your senior. Figure out what the hell. Talk to the other girls and the hernia and whatever. Off the lake on if you want to. Get advice anywhere that you can get sound advice. Put it together. Let me know. Sooner the better. And by God, we'll put this show on the road. Now, I cannot be superior to the objectives of the Aquarians to start with. That one we can do. But we have enough firepower. We can do this one without any great interference. It doesn't have to be a one-shot ball game. We're not a bunch of one-trick ponies. So, put it together.
Okay.
Let me know, honey. I'll get it to everybody else. And by God, we will do this thing.
All right.
Okay, children, thank you for the long session.
Yeah, Jim, I'm always going to keep them up so I can be part of it, the conversation. This is Jesse. Share my contact number with if you need it. All right, then. I'm signing out.
Okay. Good night, children.
All right.